Bonnie, thank you for that, for helping to remind us of things that we need to be reminded of, and also for playing with our emotions this morning. Every time we pray over these babies, I'm just drawn to take so seriously the need for us to move from a mental idea of raising children to love God and serve God to seeing the reality of each day. And so that was a great, great reminder for us. I hope that you guys will do that. Plug her into your phone if you have those iPhones, or just keep in your mind that every moment that we have with these children is significant. We don't have time to be selfish. Our call and task in this world is to develop these children, to touch the world. I mean, there's no better way for us as the Gathering Place than to raise these kids up, to understand as quickly as possible the truth about God and be changed by that. That through their hearts, their little hearts that are molded towards God, they would serve Him and love Him and become light in the world. And I appreciate us being able to do that today. We're going to have another baby dedication on the 22nd of December. I hope you guys will commit to that again, that we would commit together to raising all these children that God is giving us to know Him and to be used by Him. It's an interesting, illustration of where we're going this morning. We've been talking about last week, we started a focus on the gospel in the Old Testament with a couple of purposes in mind. Number one is that that many of us have had this dichotomy between the Old and New Testament, that we've acted like they're two different books written by two different people, or two different gods, so to speak, and that we see the God of the Old Testament, we don't want to embrace Him, but we like the God of the New Testament. But the truth is that God has been the same, and He's the author of all of it, and that God has been looking over mankind, has been very intentional and purposeful and sovereign over His creation from the beginning of time till now. He is still moving and working. So we want to go back to the Old Testament and see how the Old Testament leads us, points us to the gospel that we find completed in the New Testament in Christ. And so we're looking at that with that in mind. But also, I hope that we will be able to, through this study, be able to see certain characteristics that are given to Christ in the Old Testament, certain characteristics that many of them didn't come into reality or understanding until Jesus came. And there were many people who had a false idea about who the Messiah would be, or who, because they had these false teachings, basically, about the prophecies that were spoken about Christ and who He would be. And so the Jewish people, for instance, got to the place of Jesus' incarnation and His life, and they never recognized Him. Most of them never recognized Him as God. And so our ideas and thoughts about God that we find sometimes in the Old Testament can stop us from seeing the reality of who He is. So Christ is the fulfillment of that. And I want us to see the character of Christ, the character, the true character of God. It's not any different. Jesus is God in human form. He came, for one of the reasons He came is so that we could see in Him the reality of who God always was, the truth about who God was. So Jesus is an easier way for us to understand the truth about God. And so I hope that we can see that not only can we see the character of Jesus as given to us in the Old Testament, but also as we look at that and begin to understand the truths about who God is, that we will be drawn to Him in such a way that on our Christmas celebration, we will come to this point of saying, wow, God with us, He is with us, and celebrate the character of Christ, who He is, in the way that Israel would have if they would have seen Him, and many did, that those who did see Him as the Messiah celebrated the reality of who He was. I think many of us, most of us, don't get that. I think in the Old Testament, we're talking about children, raising children today. This thought came to mind today. You know, Israel is called, a lot of times in Scripture, they're called the children of Israel, right? The children of Israel. And the Old Testament really serves as as a training for us. The scripture talks about that in Hebrews and Romans. It talks about the fact that the Old Testament was training for us. The law particularly was training for us. And much like these children, you know, we got tons of preschoolers and children in the back that we are hoping to train up to know God. But here's the reality. We know that right now, at this stage of their life, they're concrete thinkers, right? Which means they can, you know, that's a chair. We understand that. Chair is something solid, but we can't, they're not philosophical. They're not abstract. You can't talk about ideas like worship and them understand that. They can see elements of worship and they can do those things, but they don't really understand those things. And in a lot of ways, that's what Israel was in the Old Testament. God was using laws and concrete things to get them to the point where they could, in Jesus, see the reality of what all those things mean. So there's terms that are used in the Old Testament that are used to relate to all kinds of different things in the Old Testament to point to Christ. There are any number of characteristics about God or just about life in general that would not be understood fully until Christ came. And those things would be culminated in him. So one of those words in the Old Testament that's used a lot, I think intentionally, we talked last week about authorial intention. In other words, the author of the text was leading us somewhere. God is in the helicopter looking down at the past, the present, and the future. He knows what he's doing, and he's intentional in the things that he's doing with man in the Old Testament. It's leading us somewhere. And one of those words in the Old Testament that we find also in the New Testament, but we don't understand completely, is the word light. This past week, as I was pondering a bunch of different, you know, so many passages that we could use in the Old Testament, because the whole Old Testament is about Jesus. And so many stories and ideas that we could use in the Old Testament. We talked about some of those last week. And certainly we're going to look at some of those prophecies that were very specific about Jesus. Last week we looked at the story of Noah and the ark and how that was a picture of God as our Savior, Jesus as our Savior. And this week we're going to look at this idea of light. But the Jewish people didn't understand where God was going with this idea of light. But I think it's fascinating as you go back and look at this concept at how light and darkness communicates the truths, some of the truths about the character of Christ, who he would be when he came. So let's look at some of those today. It's interesting, this past week as I was looking at a number of different ideas or characteristics of Jesus that are found in the Old Testament. We can't talk about all of those characteristics in the short time that we have. But three of those came up this past week that I was really drawn to. And then I was listening to the song that we sang this morning, You Are, that was written by our praise team. And actually, one of those characteristics, Matt Palmer is going to preach on the 8th of December. I asked him to preach, and he's preaching on the hope of Christ that's found in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. And then two of the other ones that I saw, one of those was light, were found in the song that we've been talking about. So I thought, man, how cool is it that we begin to think about that song and how it communicates to us the truths about Christ that are found in the Old Testament that we're trying to move and see in fulfilled in Christ. And one of those were, the first one in this song was, you are the light in my darkness. You're the light in my darkness. The Old Testament term light was used to describe a number of different characteristics about Christ. But in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we see a separation or a purposeful, I believe, separation from God of light and darkness. In verse 3 of chapter 1, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Okay, he saw the light was good. And you'll find throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that light is always tied to things that are good. But he said the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So we see God separating the good from the opposite of good, which would be evil. And you find darkness throughout the Old and New Testament described or characterizing things that are evil. And God called the light day and called the darkness night. And the same thing, you see day and night as representative of good, God, godly characteristics, and the night is representative of bad, evil, satanic ideas. So darkness throughout the Old Testament is seen as evil and light as good. In Isaiah chapter 8, which is a prophecy about the coming of Christ, we'll talk some more about this prophecy later, but Isaiah says this. He says in verse 22, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness and gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." So here's an example of Isaiah talking about evil in relation to darkness. So this dichotomy between light and darkness is given and made by God in the very beginning of time. Israel understood that. And as we'll see in some of the writings, and we're just going to read through a number of these writings and look at some of the things that light is used in conjunction with to describe certain characteristics of God and certain characteristics of life with God. But in each of these, you'll see this understanding of light being good and darkness being evil. Now, Isaiah, I tried to limit what we'll do this morning to words that come from Isaiah, who is one of the prophets. And it's, you know, Isaiah's prophecy is spoken as the gospel of the Old Testament, because Isaiah is speaks so much, gives so much prophecy about the birth, life, and death of Christ. And so from Isaiah's perspective, there are some things that he brings out. And then also the psalmist, David. I want to talk about some of the things that he brings out regarding light. A man who was after God's heart, but in the midst of having a heart for God, and described as being that, a man after God's own heart. We know that David failed miserably in his life, and so he represents all of us who, though we have a heart for God, though we are desirous of being of living a life of obedience to God and desiring the statutes of God to be made manifest in our lives, all of us fail at that. And David failed miserably by falling to adultery, and then after adultery, to murder. And so what would David, the psalmist, say about light and darkness? He certainly had seen both, and so how would that come out for him? Understand also in Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah is speaking, he is a prophet of God who is speaking to the disobedience of Israel in the moment. So he's, the prophets are always talking about to the people about their disobedience and pointing forward to a day when they will be able to walk in obedience. And so Isaiah does that. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. One of the things in Scripture, in the Old Testament, Isaiah's prophecy, that light is tied to is instruction. In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 5, Isaiah says, "O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord." David in Psalm 119, 105, one of the verses that I'm sure most of you are familiar with, 105 and 106 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules." So one of the things that light is tied to in the Old Testament is instruction, the instruction of God, right? That God would give us direction and instruction for life. Another thing that light is tied to is truth. The psalmist in Psalm 43, which, did we read some of that this morning? I don't remember. Kevin, did we ever get into that? That's right, you ended up in Philippians. Well, we talked about this past week, about this passage, how much it's meant to Kevin in relation to this idea. But anyway, light is tied to truth. In verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 43, David says, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God." So light is tied here to the truth. It's light and your truth that go out from God. The enemy always speaks to us in lies. The Scripture says that it is his natural or native language, that Satan lies to us. And God describes light and truth as coming out from him. Light is connected with joy. In Psalm 97, verse 11, it says, "Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright heart. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright heart. So for those of us, again, who are walking in God's righteousness, light is connected with the joy that comes from an upright heart. Light is connected with covenant. In Isaiah 42, verse 6, Isaiah says, I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for my people, or for the people, a light for the nations. And we know that that was a covenant that he made with Abraham. He's a covenant-making God. And so light is tied to the covenant. Again, a positive illustration for us of what light is. Light is connected with justice and righteousness. In Isaiah 59, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, and behold, darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. So justice, he says, is far from us, but it is represented as what they hope for, and he describes it as light. So light is connected with justice and righteousness. Light is connected with God's presence and favor. The psalmist says in Psalm 44, verses 1 through 3, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted, you afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. So God's favor is tied to light in the Old Testament. Light is tied with peace. In Isaiah 45, verse 7, I don't know if I have this one. Do you have that one, Tommy? All right, we'll pass that one up. Plenty of others to go away. Okay, there it is. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. So he creates well-being and calamity, and he describes light as being connected with well-being or peace, and as darkness being connected with calamity. And Israel understands that. Certainly, if anybody understood it, the people of Israel understood that their disobedience was tied to darkness and calamity, and that it came from God. When they were disobedient to God, that God would bring about a famine, or would place them in bondage under some army or some other country. Some enemy would take them into bondage. So they understood that. But he describes light as peace, that if they were living in obedience to God, that they would have peace. Light is connected to the glory of Yahweh. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, he says, Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. It's a beautiful description of what we've described even when we were in 2 Corinthians, talking about the glory of God that was seen, the diminishing glory that was seen on the face of Moses, and that he didn't want the people to see God's glory diminishing, so he kept his face covered. So this light that represents the glory of God, when he would go into the presence of God, they would see light on his face. And so light is connected. Israel understood all these connections between light and these good characteristics or ideas that are presented in the Old Testament. So even though it didn't make sense for them in the Old Testament, and for some of them even in the New Testament, God was being intentional in the things that he was doing. In these words where he's connecting light to all of these characteristics, all of that was intentional. God was trying to communicate something to us. And the final culmination of that communication comes together best, I think, in John's Gospel, in John chapter 1, John describes Jesus as, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He begins to describe Jesus as the Word, and the Word being made flesh, coming to dwell within, to dwell among us. But he also describes him in terms of light. In verse 3 of John chapter 1, he says this, or verse 4, he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And he talks about John in a little parenthetical statement. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. What was his role? He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This should have been an aha moment for all the Israelite people. When Christ came and fulfilled and became all these things that light described in the Old Testament, the people should have seen who he was. Even the idea of light bringing things to light comes in this passage. But here's what happens when Jesus shows up on the earth. Jesus, the light of the world, when he walks into the world, the scripture describes two responses to him. It says that he came to his own, which was the Jewish people, his own people, and his own received him not. His own people didn't receive him, even though the light came and he manifested himself to them as all these things, as good, as salvation, as life, as the glory of Yahweh. All the characteristics that were given in the Old Testament were seen, manifested in the person of Christ. Even though they saw that, Scripture says that they did not receive him. It says they came to the world, and the world didn't recognize who he was. But here's the blessing of what God did for us in Christ. Here's the purpose that Jesus came. It's for those who would respond in this way. He said, but to those who received him, believed on his name, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Here's the message that I believe that comes from the Old Testament clearly. And I encourage you guys to go back and read all these references to light in the Old Testament. But every one of the references that I read in the Old Testament regarding light are fulfilled in Christ. If we had time this morning, we could go to the New Testament and probably hit each one of these characteristics and show you in the New Testament how specific ways that Jesus was the light in those ways. But here's what all of us know in our hearts. Here's what all of us feel in our hearts. Even if you're not a believer today, and you're here today just kind of checking God out, here's what I know is true in your heart. You understand that Christ is these things, because the light of God is shown on your heart. How you respond to that is up to you. The light is clear. It's bright. We understand the difference between light and darkness. Your understanding is made complete not because you're smart, not because you've studied hard, but because the Spirit gives you that enlightenment. That comes from the Spirit of God. And so you recognize God as being these things. You recognize the beauty of who he is, all these characteristics that are described in the Old Testament. But those things demand a response from us. When the light of who Christ is shown to you and you see the beauty of who he is, you have two responses just like the people of Israel did. Today you have a response where you can say to God, I understand the truth as it's been being revealed to me. I see the truth about who Christ is and I reject that. Or you can say, I believe these things are true and I want to respond to that by receiving him. by making a decision to receive the light into my life, to come and change my life, to bring all these characteristics into my life. Because the truth is that when Christ came as the light, he came to change us. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew also describes the light in this way, or Jesus in this way. In verses 12 through 17, he says, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken about the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." And here's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And then the next verse, verse 17, says, "And from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom is at hand.'" Jesus was saying, this is it. I am the light. The light is here. All those things that God described in the Old Testament, all those characteristics that you've given to God are manifest in me. The kingdom of God is here, and you have a response that you need to make to that. And his response was this: "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The light is here. And here's what I want to encourage us today. We need to see the truth about the light of the world, in whose kingdom we are now living. Jesus is the light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if you're here today and you need guidance has been manifested. Instruction has been manifested in Christ. The Holy Spirit is available to live in your life. Jesus, in the form of his Spirit, is available to you to live in your life and to provide instruction for your life. If you're needing answers today to questions in your life, I mean questions that are hard, maybe you're facing some issues in your life that are difficult, as the Old Testament describes, Christ is the manifestation of truth. So get your answers from Christ. He is here to answer your questions. He's real. He's alive. He is the one that is drawing your heart right now. And he has the answers to your questions. He is truth. If you've lost hope in the goodness of people and you've seen nothing but evil in your life, maybe you're tired of, and maybe you're under the impression that God is like all the other people in your life and you've experienced nothing but bad. The scripture says that the light is good. It's good. And it's a picture of who Jesus is. The light has come and he is good. If you're here today and you're dead in your sin, here's the truth. All of us, at some point in our lives, have been dead in our sins. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn because of our sin. But the good news is that Christ is life and salvation. He is our life and salvation. The light in the Old Testament was tied to light and salvation, and Jesus is that. He is the light. He wants to bring salvation to you. If you're dead, you have no purpose, no meaning in your life, then Christ has that for you. He has meaning. If you're in sorrow today, Christ is your joy. The light is tied to joy. Jesus is the light, and so joy is here for you today. If you need something to trust in today, and you've had broken promise after broken promise in your life, Scripture says that the light is tied to the covenant that God gave us, and Christ is the light. He is the covenant keeper. He is the one that will never let you down. He is the one that is fulfilling the covenant that God made with Abraham, this covenant of making a great nation, and it's a spiritual nation. It's a nation of people who are coming to God by faith in Jesus. Abraham's faith is used as an illustration to talk about the faith that we need to have in Christ. And so if you're here and you're needing something to trust in, there's a covenant that has been made with us. And you can be a part of that. If you're tired of striving in your own power to be good, the Old Testament shows that the light is tied to righteousness, and Jesus is the light. He is our righteousness. And so quit striving to be good in your own power. Christ can be good for you on your behalf. He is our righteousness. Paul told the church at Rome that all the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in him. And so the light is here today. If you're seeking to please God, you desire to be pleasing to God and to have God's favor on you, the Old Testament says that light is tied to favor. If you're desiring to see the truth about God, to understand the truth about God, then the Scripture says that the glory of God is available to us in the light, and the light is Jesus. Now here's what I'm trying to bring to light this morning, right? Out of the Old Testament, numerous descriptions of light. In the very beginning, God divided light from darkness, recognizing that all good is described by light. And when we come to the New Testament, we see in Jesus the fulfillment of that. That everything good, all the things that we need in life, everything anything that you need is provided by Christ. You know, it seems cliche maybe to some of us, the idea of Jesus being all you need. But in reality, Jesus is the light, and he is all you need. He is everything. And the sooner that we can understand that the things that we have in Christ are enough, the better off we're going to be. I don't know if you've been deceived by the enemy to continue to walk in darkness, or if you're at a place today where the true light has come into your life and you recognize it. My hope is this, that whatever the case may be, wherever you are today, that you allow the light of the world to be all that he wants to be in your life. That all that God pointed to in Jesus, in this one term in the Old Testament, used over and over again to give all these descriptions of what is good, that you can have that in your life today. The true light is coming to the world. The question is, what are you going to do with him? So as we close this morning, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a second, maybe bow your head, and just be thinking about your response to God today. And ask yourself some questions regarding what God's Word has said. It would have been so obvious to the Israelites that the Messiah would possess these characteristics, and that he would be all of these things for the people. And yet, even with it seeming to be so obvious, so many miss Christ. So the question today is, you know, in light of what you've heard, what are you going to do with the light? John said that the light came into the world and people love darkness rather than the light. And maybe that's you today. My prayer is that you would allow the Holy Spirit to change your desires. To those who believe in him, the Scripture says he will give the power to become children of God. I hope you see the light today. Jesus is the light. In him is no darkness at all. God has so much that he wants to do in your life today. So would you take this time just to say a prayer to God in response to the light, recognizing that whatever you need, he's here for you. Father, thank you for revealing your glory to Israel. And God, thank you that we can look back and see, Lord, that you were pointing to Jesus the whole time. Thank you that he is our instruction. He is our truth. He is good. That he is life and salvation. That he is our joy. That he is our covenant and the fulfillment of it. That he is our righteousness. Thank you that we have all these things in him. Thank you that he is our favor. And Father, help us to see all these things in him and to be drawn to him during this season of the year. To realize that when God came to be with us, that all these things, all these beautiful descriptions of the glory of our Savior would be ours. Help us to be overwhelmed by these truths. Grab our hearts this Christmas, God. And change us. May these things be motivation for us, God, to enjoy you and to share you with the world around us. We praise you and thank you, God, for being who you are and for manifesting yourself to us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.